New Rio, beginning of Channel 1 right. A new Rio beginning. Now this is New Rio, Willie's Visit. I had the old tape set up for anybody who came in. We didn't know Willie was coming. He caught us out in the hot sun in this heat wave, putting up the electric fence, re-putting it up, put the cows back in that old millet over in the front pasture. It's Channel 1 right, beginning of Willie's Visit on Tuesday the 23rd of June 1970. We expected him to come over and talk hay. He wants to go in with me on hay. And Frank, too. And Frank is a chief consumer, it looks like. Now, this is beginning of Willie's Visit. He came over to talk about hay, but he doesn't talk much about hay. A little bit towards the end, when it's almost time for him to leave to get to work. And this is Channel 1 right, the beginning of Willie's Visit, this Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 1970. Afternoon, the heat of the day, and this heat wave. And we sat in the kitchen and talked, and almost missed doing it. I thought we'd stand up, lean against the gate out there and talk a little bit, but Faye knew better than that. She alerted me to it. Hadn't been fair, I think I'd have missed it. And some of this is fine talk.
Me?
Yeah, I'm just not up to it. I'm not used to it, see? I've been setting in too much. Well,
I have too.
I about got my breath, huh?
But I don't
know. This stuff here, I don't know what it does for you, but you take this the night before,
and it gives you a better feeling of what the day.
It colors your blood or something. You see, they test your blood or your urine or whatever it is they check. It might say on there what it does.
I thought it was some kind of new drink. It's you know, glucola.
I got to the point where I don't ask questions anymore. I just do what people tell me.
No, you can't do that.
If they say drink this and hand it to me, hell, I'm drinking it. It may be poison.
You can't do that, though. You just can't do it. You shouldn't.
Well, now when you was an army,
Somebody will booze you. First thing you know, you'll be walking around your tipsy.
When you was in the army, now don't tell me you knew everything that you was giving
today. They didn't give me too much. And what I take, I'm like, just like you said, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. But since then, you have inquired.
Oh, yes.
If anybody gives you something to drink, you say, well, what in the hell is that you're giving me?
You got another one. That's a good book there. I'm glad you had that book.
Take it with you.
No, thank you. I got, the Gator Tail's published now. I won't have to worry about nothing to read.
The what?
Gator Tail. They went back publishing it yesterday. You know, thank you, ma'am.
Where did they publish it?
Gator Tail. You know the tales they publish in your university out there.
Oh, that thing.
Where is it? The pamphlet.
Yes.
Or the mullet wrapper.
Yes.
But I call it the gator tail, because ain't nothing but tails. You know, you've heard of the old wise tails?
Yeah.
Not wise tails, now the old wise.
Old wise.
Tails.
Yeah.
And I went to this place one time.
Now it's been taped over. It's been taped over from 45 to 174. It's been taped over from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. From 45 to 174. From 45 to 174. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174.
Don't you dare take a bite before I do.
Thank you. Okay.
Taste you don't get in a grocery store. It goes like you brought back to Miami that your mother did.
I just could not consume enough of those tomatoes.
I couldn't either.
And I have grown tired of tomatoes, you know. I don't eat them very much anymore.
Understand.
I would be happy to. Cook anything for you, stay for anything else in order to get the idea. He didn't want to do anything.
No.
Copy stuff out there.
I just find I can't take it when it's so hot and so humid and so still.
Well, you see, you can't.
And that's about the only time it gets still like that is when it's real humid.
Yeah. And when you're going to have something like that. There's so much time when it does come up and cool it off.
Are you riding her now?
No.
I don't think so.
We won't start riding until about
another month.
Get out of
it. You know,
just walk
around. Well, how's yours doing?
Your horse? Oh, she's fine. They're all right. I don't think they're going to riding there. We got somebody out here riding a lot. But, you know, they're not.
Coming off the roof. Afternoon.
Today, I mean tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's been on since I've been sitting here?
Yeah.
Why do you think this?
Because I turned it on for a minute.
Does that mean that I'm on tape somewhere?
Yeah.
How did you turn it on?
Just when you mean turn the recorder on.
Oh. There's nobody for me to talk to, so I'm not. Hmm? And then you came back in here? Is it on now?
I don't know if there's not, might be.
What happened to tell? What's on to it? That is mayonnaise, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not bad. It's not.
I know. That pen really is pretty. I wanted to call it a puppy. Well, I'll be able to go to the bookstore. Homework I need to do.
Can't do it without your books.
I can't believe it. I even planned it, we'll run by the shop. Nothing, it's fine.
Hmm?
So that's really terrible. Can't we do it for you? I don't want anymore. I'm very full.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat it?
Can't leave the thing.
No, I'll eat the rest of this one.
I'll put it in my purse. Just like we were in a restaurant.
Okay. You ate a lot. God. You ate a lot more than I did.
I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 up to 174. I taped over Willie's tape from 45 up to 174. This is 156. This is 156. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. And this is 158. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174. And this is 160. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 161. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 163. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 165. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 166. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 168. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 170. I've taped over Willie's tape from 45 to 174, and this is 171. This is 172. This is 173.
Students in SC, and they kind of blocked the road, so why should I walk in there in the first place? So I just always made it happen, unless I was going to pick me up an orange drink or something, I just go on outside and go in. It was the same difference, maybe a little better. So somebody had hooked the door back, and it was open. And with these crepe rubber soled shoes, you know, I don't make no racket, you can't even hear me walking at all. And I walked right up on these people busting into these machines out there. And this man seen me first. He taken the foot. Ooh, he running. He wore all his all the hide off his bottom feet. Both of them were barefooted, running. But the other one, he didn't pay him no mind, or he was so interested in tearing that money box out of that machine. And the police said it didn't. I didn't go down and look down there. He had jugged a hole into the metal and had that thing spot welded in there. You know, that box. And he tore all that spot weld off, and within, which was just a scutcheon, you know, just to cover up the opening to make it look neat. He thought he was going to get the box, you know. You could see the money through a crack down in there, but I bet there wasn't a dollar in it, if that much. Because, see, the thing shut down. The people are stupid. Well, this other fella, he's crunched down there with this old screwdriver about this long, prizing on that box. But that thing is welded in the back end, with so the vendor man says it's got a cross like that, welded in the back. And this box is welded to it with bolts holding it up, you know, on four corners of them, that cross brace. And the box is welded to it, and if you're going to take it out, the whole box, you have to get back from the back side and undo them bolts, you know, to take it out, which he said they never did do. That was the way it's put in them. Well, he thought he looked up and seen me, and his hair was way down along here, and he shook his head back like that and run me up and down twice to see what I was, you know. And so he made a powerful tug at that box, thinking the last effort would be the one that'd count, you know, and he'd slide right out. And he liked to turn the machine over on me. Well, he come up then at me with a screwdriver, and I jumped back and run back up in the hall, and I told him, I said, "You can have the whole damn university." I said, "I don't want no part of it." I said, "It's all yours. Just take it and go." So he taken it for it too, and he whipped around B unit there between B unit and Hume Library, and he just cut that hedge back. And the hedge sticks out about half the distance hit that wall there, as a blind or something, you know, to keep the corner from looking of that building. You know what I mean? It comes up to the wall. Instead of dying at the corner, it comes up to the wall and dies. And there's nothing there except two big palm trees, and they're spaced about 4, 5, 6 feet apart there. And one of these old big palm fans had fell down in the vault. And he got that thing between his feet. And it tricked him, and he jugged his head right into that old thing. They'd just cut it all back. You know, it's standing up about that. Had just a bunch of limbs like that. You know how they'll cut them old hedges back. He just rammed all that hair and eyeballs and all right up into that scrawny bush. And he hollered, "Ah!" I said, "Hey, better be careful. Are you going to kill your fool self?" He was just like a gopher, you know, a goat. You seen a goat with his head hung in the fence, how they'll back up and go, "Burr!" And they'll back, you know, and stretch their head. I thought he was going to pull his head off, getting it out of them limbs, you know. He bore into that thing.
No, I never saw a goat with his head in the fence. With the horns gone?
Oh, yeah, they'll go in, you know, to get food through the mesh of the wire, and they'll keep stretching until the horn gets inside, and then when they back up, it won't come out.
Never will come out, yeah.
And I've seen many goat skeletons hung in the fence.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Where they hang themselves and die right there. They don't live long after they get hung. They're very easy, to give up.
I wish I had some goats, or I had some goats. I'm going to get me a rooster. I'm not going to live over here.
What for? Mm-hmm. What for?
I want to have a crow. I'd rather have rooster crow than have all these dogs bark tonight.
Oh.
They had a little dog, that nice little black and white dog down there, and she gave him to Miss Bessie.
Miss Bessie Truelock?
Miss Bessie Jackson. And all he does down there all through the night, almost every night.
Does a bark job.
He barks constantly. You know how a dog sound barking at a cat? He never lets up. He just keeps barking.
I tell you, usually the rule if a dog barks, my dog, I can usually tell about what it is. Now, not so much with this one as it could to the other one. Distinctly, that dog made a different bark when it was human. You could tell it right off. If it was a varmint or something, she had a different bark. If it was a cat, she had a different bark. And I could tell right off, you know, without any, I could lay right down in bed and listen to her just a little, you know, and decide on what whether it's worthwhile to get up and check her or not. But this one I got, usually a dog.
Living too young, he hadn't learned much, has he?
He ain't gonna ever learn nothing because I ain't taking up no time with him.
Takes a little time?
Oh, yeah. Usually the rule, a dog that's makes a vicious barking racket, you know, and 9 times out of 10 it's a human. Because a human is that their main fear, you know what I mean? They're more fearful of a human being than almost anything else that might be commonly around, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With exceptions of some wild animals. Now, they get very excited when a panther or something comes around.
That'd scare them.
Oh, yeah. Or a 6-foot lizard.
But if it's a gopher, a bunny, or something like that,
he's got a more familiar bark. I mean, he barks, and he in his plight of bark, he lets you know it's not real, real urgent that I come out, but that he's letting me know that's there, you know.
Yeah.
But you heard about the lizard.
Oh, I just barely heard about it.
That thing chased me all over the campus last night. If I ain't had a time. 6-foot lizard.
Got out of the museum, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just joking. I ain't seen it. But then people out at the farm headquarters teasing me about that lizard getting that. Said, now that's going to be worse than a man with the damn 18-inch screwdriver. That's what the boss said. Says, so you better get your pockets emptied to where you won't have too much to haul. So whenever when he comes, you can get on off. But they have rode me high about that man backing me up in that corner with that screwdriver. Yeah, man. Cotton picking police, they scattered all over the countryside.
Yeah.
But that thing sure did scare me there for a moment. And then if the darn cat wouldn't leave me alone. He kept following me, and it'd take me a bit to get the police to get the cat out of there, you know. They finally, they got rid of taking the cat off. But then the old police sergeant said, well, I said, you know what caused that, you know what the cat is, don't you? I said, yeah, he's a black cat. I said, I know it, yeah. And he said, well, he says, that's that nigger spirit. And I said, yeah, I thought that all along. But I'm glad that you was educated enough to tell me for sure. And he looked at me, you know, like I'd spit in his face. So when the janitors come on 11 o'clock, I was telling old Arnett Smith and down here on late about it. He says, you know, Miss Willie, he says, that man's spirit. He says, you know, a black man got a black cat for spirit, and a white man got a white cat for spirit.
Who's Arnett Smith?
Jig, from down at Arn Lake.
What's he doing?
Colored man. What do you think?
He work over there?
Oh, yeah, he's been there some 20-odd years, I guess. I say that. He's been working there for years and years. Seems like he's been working there. Ought to been working there 30 years. I don't know. I'm going to ask him. He's sick right now. You know, they give you, what is it, a day a month sick leave?
But it adds up.
But they don't let it add.
They take it.
They might let it run for 2-3 months where they can get more than one day at a time off, you know. But
I see what you mean.
See, now, like, they get off Thursday night, and then they don't come back till Sunday night. They all Friday and Saturday night, and they come back Sunday night. Well, usually when they get off, they don't ever get sick during the week or during the work hour or anything. They get sick on Sunday afternoon, and then they can't report in, see. So then they add, see, they've already gotten since Thursday morning off, and that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, of course, they have to go back to work. I said Thursday, Friday. They get off Friday morning, yes. Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday, and then they go back to work Sunday night, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he does, see, he had 4 days coming. So he just hooks that on to them days he's been off, so it gives him a pretty good vacation, see? Because he finished up his tour at 6 o'clock Thursday morning, which if he wanted to take a little trip, well, his wife would drive, you know, until he slept, say, 2 or 3 hours that morning while he was driving, and they could get down the road a good little ways. But what they do, old Strange down here, that's another thing a doctor ought to be shot for. I don't believe that a doctor should ever do this, but for $5, Strange will write you an excuse, you know, to carry to the university, saying that you've been in bed, or you had this problem, that problem. And Clyde told me last night, I've been knowing him for years and years, so he's a boss over this janitorial business, saying. He said he'd been looking for Arnett to do that for several weeks, because he'd went about 3 months since he'd used a sick leave day. So that's the way they do that. He said ain't none of them ever get sick other than Sunday afternoon. So they'll get sick Sunday afternoon, and then if they don't call in, you're supposed to call in, you know. If you don't call in, they'll send word by somebody else that works, you know. And they'll send this just slip. Now, you know, every job I've ever been around or worked on, you carry the slip after you got well, you know. But old Clyde says they'll send them slips in. And he says the doctor stated on that he'd be 3 days before he could come back. He says that's all the sick leave he's got, 3 days. So he'd be 3 days out. So he gets a long weekend there. And gets paid for it too.
You know, I didn't realize. I never, when I was in the army, that's when I never realized what you can do if you was, you know, belong to the organization.
Oh yeah.
They just got all sorts of rules and regulations in your favor.
Mm-hmm. If you just know it.
Yeah. And some things don't make so much noise.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
they make so much. They you can just. It'll just come to you, you know, if it puts mind on it. Oh, yes.
You know, I was beginning to learn that the day I got discharged.
Yeah.
I was. I ain't kidding you. I did. I began to know that the day I got discharged.
Yeah.
You know, I told you about my wheeling deal. I went AWOL, you know. I thought it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I'd fought a good fight. I'd won a battle. And I figured by Joe I was entitled to a week off.
Yeah.
So I come home fished. And, of course, I turned back in AWOL. But they said, since you got a good record and so, we'll send you to cooking back school in Fort Benning, Georgia. I said, great, Lord, I can't go that road. So I said, we'll have to court-martial and put you in the brig for 2 months. I said, no, I'll go to Fort Benning, Georgia. So I went up there, and they wouldn't let me out. I got booked in, got my records lost, got booked in with a bunch of rookies. And I was up for discharge. See, when I went on AWOL tour, my name come up for discharge the day I left. But I'd been laying around there for 2 months waiting for discharge and hadn't come, doing nothing. I wanted a fish the worst kind. It was in the spring, fish's bite. And so anyway, I bucked out of that cooking baker business because I couldn't cook. I told that man he was wasting money and time on me. And when I first done the day I went in there, I told him. And I told him, I said, anything I can do to get out of here, I'm going to be working at it. And I got out. It taken about 6 weeks, but I got out of it. And, you know, they sent me to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And they put me on shotgun guard duty. And I told the captain of this company, you know, I said, I ain't going to haul this gun. I said, shoot, I done hauled my last gun. I ain't hauling no more guns. And he said, well, he says, it's that else. I said, well, just give me else. I ain't hauling no shotgun. And Bubba, he carried buckshot. 5 loads of buckshot in that cotton picking sawed-off barrel shotgun. And that's a load to haul that thing around. And I just didn't like the idea of hauling an automatic shotgun loaded with 5 loads of buckshot. And so they said, well, says, you either got to do that or else. I said, well, just give me the else then. And so they put me on cleanup detail in the barracks. Well, this is on the post, which consists of, it's just like a city, you know, most all these old forts. And right at the corner of my barrack, on the street, there was traffic light. And I was sleeping on the second floor, and right even with that cotton picking traffic light. And that word is still, I mean, they had blinds, but that light would blink, you know, when it turned red, it'd just go all in that room, just like lightning almost every time, you know, and did it all night long. And that aggravated me. And I went to the head management about that. And they told me that this old sergeant and at the office, which was headquarters for that building, told me that, says, when you go to sleep, hang your drawers up. I don't care just what, said, that light don't bother me. So that you'll have to go before the street commission or something. And of course, I was just bellyaching, you know, anything I could bellyache about, that's what I was doing, because I didn't like the way they were treating me. So I fooled around then. They put me on this work detail, polishing these floors and these barracks. Because in there, the boys that slept in those barracks, stayed in those barracks, they didn't do no floor jobs. You had a crew did that every day, just like they got at the university. You know, you got a crew that goes in there every day and polishes everything up, brass and everything's polished. Well, if I take the notion to walk off down the street, I just went down the street. I'd go off somewhere and sit in the cool of the day, you know, and them old boys would be rubbing and scrubbing. Well, they were rookies, and they were scared to death, you know. They were afraid they was going to get shot. I'm talking about now, you know, the privileges you can muster up if you want to, if you set your mind to do it. They'll get rough with you, all right, and they'll throw a lot of scare into you. They did me even long last day. Man sent me up for he was a colonel there, that division, or that part of the post, for not obeying him, you know, and his every whim and wish. And the old colonel said to me, he said, son, said, how come you don't want to do nothing? I said, I done done my share, sir. I'm ready to go home. He said, well, your records don't show that you've done anything. I said, well, I don't care what my record said. I'm tired. I want to get out of this thing. And, oh, he cussed a line about that long, you know, and he says, I've been here 22 years. And he says, I ain't got tired yet. I said, there's something wrong with you.
Well, that makes me think of, they picked me up for running the red light or something. No, it wasn't either. It was backing out on the street. And I'd seen so many policemen do that.
Oh, yes, they can do it, but you can't.
Yeah. And, and they make the post office over here at McNovey where you can't do anything but back out, you see.
No, you're supposed to pull up and then back in. And then when you take off, you pull out. See, you headed out.
Yeah.
That's right. See, your post office sitting here, and you come this direction, you just pass it and then back in, park, see. Yeah. And then whenever you get ready to go, it's easy. You just drive right out and head back.
I don't think you're supposed to back up on Main Street either. But anyhow, let me tell you, look at that booger there. Look at that. He red-bellied. And I went to this head man over the police station. I didn't ask to go to him. I just told him I wasn't going to pay a fine for that. Went in and talked to him. And he said that he had been driving in Gainesville for 20 years and he had never been fined. And I thought, how flat-headed can you get?
Yeah.
So I just shut up and come on home. That may be one way to get out. Just act flat-headed.
Yeah. But you know, I didn't know they had a man. They got a man in there, you know, you can go to and talk to, just like you went to the police captain, a police chief. They didn't want me around that cleanup detail. I wouldn't do nothing, causing a lot of trouble, and making other boys have the same thought in mind, you know. So they shifted me out of there and sent me over across the street to the stockade over there, you know, and as if that would scare me. And Captain Britt, he, when I went in, why, of course, he was at the information desk, And I told him I was reporting over there. He said, what for? I said, sir, I don't know. Don't have the least idea. He said, well, what's your job? I said, I ain't got no job. He said, you mean to say you're in this man's army and don't have a job? I said, I ain't got nothing. And he said, well, good. He said, you're just the man we're looking for. He said, I need an aide, bad. And he said, I'll take you under my wing and you can be my aide. And you know, it was the best job I ever had. He told me, he says, you know, very seldom they ever call you by your first name or a nickname. But he said, did you ever get a nickname hung on you while you was in service? I said, yeah, when I was with my regular outfit overseas, he called me Chick. He said, okay. He said, I'll call you Chick then. And he said, I'll give you a raise. He said, I'll make you a buck sergeant. You know, that's one of the best ratings back in World War II. You could get it. It was a privilege rating. I mean, you know, you could just kind of walk into anybody's door. And sometimes they'd even say sir to you. And he says, in 6 months, I'll make you buck sergeant. And he says, and at the end of the year, he says, I'll guarantee you a T5 rating. I said, man, I said, nothing like that. I said, I've got to get out of this man's army. I said, shoot, I've been fouled up anyway. And I said, I'm going to get out one way or the other, and I'm not going to be fooled around here. But I should have stayed there. I should have stayed right there. But he told me, he seen that I wasn't going to do nothing. I stayed there maybe a month with him. I enjoyed it. I liked it. But I still was coming home. I was working on that all the time. I didn't have no time for anybody else. I didn't work the job. I worked what I was wanting to work in. And he knew it. I went with him every time he'd leave the office. You know, I'd go out with him, you know. Kind of like your boy, you know. But they hung this 45 on you, which always was a bearing load. I mean, that thing just bared down on my little middle something figures. I told him, I said, Captain, I said, how about just leave this gun lay here? I said, ain't got no bullets for it anyway. He says, you fool, you've been going around here supposed to be guarding me and ain't got no bullets? I said, I ain't got a one. Man, I thought they were going to shoot me. No joke, I thought they were going to kill me. And them boys, there's about 10 or 15 MPs in there. See, all the military police and everything headed up there at the old stockade. They call it the old stockade. And that's police headquarters. I'd been going around, I didn't even have a clip in the old pistol, you know. And he said, let me see that thing. And I handed it to him, and it's all rusty, you know, and beat up. He said, where you get this from? I said, I picked it up over there on the counter when you told me to grab a gun, a pistol. And I went over there and looked, and they'd put his underneath the counter, you know, which was fully loaded. And shiny, brand new. And that was the one I was supposed to be hauling, you know, and I knew it. I said, I ain't gonna take care of nothing of that. I said, this old butt beat up one here. I said, shoot, I can beat it around, you know, right on. Nobody never knows it because I got it beat up. It's like somebody beat it up ahead of me, see. And it wasn't even shoot. Somebody laid it up there for repair. See, and when you bring one in for repair, all the sidearms were brought in there for repair, you know, which was sent off, or either they had a man that could repair them, you know, and they just put it on the counter out beside this gun, you know. It was that first day I went to work, and I just picked it up. And this boy that worked that department, he just pushed the other pistol underneath there on the shelf where they kept them. But this old captain, he was a good man, I guess, as he was in the Army. And he said, well, he said, I tell you, he said, you go to the, is it GG, IG, or JG, or something?
IG sounds right.
Adjutant General?
AG.
And anyway, he's a man that you can talk to about anything that might come up other than religious. Then you go to the chaplain, you know. Well, I didn't know the Army had one of them stupid jerks. I just didn't know nothing about that.
There's none around here, is there?
No. And Captain Britt told me, he says, told me where to go, what office to go to. He says, a man just plumb jam up. He says, he's a good friend of mine. And says, he'll treat you like a father. I said, well, I'll just run right on over there right now. And it was during work hours, you know. He said, go ahead. You ain't going to do nothing here anyway. And I went on. Had to go about the old block down to the left, down to where the administrative part of the post was, you know. And it took me about 30 minutes there to find the cotton picking room. I don't know, several-story building, and it consists of about two or three blocks, you know, solid. One just big, huge building. And so anyway, I finally found this old boy. And he had this beautiful office suit, you know. And this corporal sitting there as a receptionist, you know, and I walked in and I gave him a name and everything. He told him what I wanted. And so he told me, he said, have a seat there. So I sat down and he, in a bit while this buzzer sounded off, you know, on his desk, and he told me to go in. So I went in, and this is beautiful, just plush, like a living room, just like a home living room, you know. And the old man was, looked to be about 55, 60 years old. And he told me
probably
to come
40.
In. Oh, no, he was old. You could tell. I don't forget. Now, we sit down and talk for about 35, 40 minutes. And just as nice as he could be. And I told him my plight. I told him everything. I didn't leave out a thing.
They had it like a living room, make you feel at home.
Make you talk. Give you a feel of relaxity, you know.
Yeah, one in the army.
Yeah, and you didn't have to salute this old bird, you know. He's kind of civilian like. And when you leave out, see, you don't go out this door here. You got a little old door. You go out like you go out that door, and there's a little old narrow hallway that puts you back in the corridor, you know, outside out there. You know, you don't go back out that way. Because you don't want to go back out. You know, they don't want you to go out and see somebody out there, and if things don't go just right for you or something, you might go out mad or such. I don't know. But anyway, he talked to me, and I told him. I had never told anybody my plight, you know, my whole condition and the whole situation. I told him, I says, I decided that I'd done enough for my country, and the fish was biting, and I was going to take a week off and fish, and I did. And I said, I come back while they put me in a cooking baker school with a bunch of rookies. And I said, then I bucked out of that and I got into this here shotgun guard deal with five loads of buckshot on my shoulder, and I didn't like that. And I went out one day and I didn't go back out there no more. And I said, and then they put me on a cleanup detail in the MP building over there. And I said, I worked that a half a day, and I walked off down the street and sat down on a bench and watched the women walk by. And I said, they run me out of there. And I said, now I'm over there with Captain Britt, who says that you're a good friend of his. He said, I know Britt. Yes, I know him. Says, he's all right. But says, what do you want? I said, I want out. Bad. And from that day to this, every time I walk by a bulletin board, in all those hallways up there, there's a bulletin board, say 5x6. Sometimes that double and triple to side by side. And there's 2 to 3 to every 100 feet, I'd say, a floor space. A linear feet, rather, going down that hall. I'll stop and check them, see if there's anything new come out. That was my biggest failure, and I never fooled with a bulletin board. I got in more trouble by not fooling with the bulletin board. You know how it was in the Army. You're supposed to every morning check the bulletin board, every day at noon check the bulletin board, and every night before you go to sleep, you got to go check the bulletin board. I didn't do it. I said, I ain't going to do it. They're going to tell me when they want me. And I got in more trouble. But I got a bad habit of reading bulletin boards. They used to have one on the square down there, and right after I come out of the Army, it was a war. You know, during World War II, and all these little towns, you know, around the county seat, they had these big bulletin boards, you know, they put up there the number of boys from this county, and a lot of them had the names of the boys, you know, and the date they was entered into service. And if they'd gotten killed, they had a cross by the name. If they'd gotten wounded, they had a star by the name, or something like that, you know. They had a big one down at O'Callaghan Square, and every time I'd walk around that square, I'd have to go over there and read that bloody thing. But that old man, he learned me about a bulletin board. Yes, sir. He learned me, you better watch that bulletin board.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir. He said, you watch that bulletin board. Said, don't make no difference what you do. He said, we like these men that watch a bulletin board. Said, you might think it's a waste of time to go there, but said, we pay you extra to go watch a bulletin board.
Is that right?
And so he said, your name liable to come out any day, man. And they said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to be watching bulletin board. Sure enough, 2 days' time, my name was the first to know. They had a bulletin board as tall as the ceiling and about as wide as that thing there, because they had all them names, you know, listed on there. And then they had space for daily chores for the boys in service, you know. Great day. My name was the first name up in the top corner up yonder, you know.
Way up there.
Yeah, I didn't even slow down. I passed MP headquarters just like I didn't even know it was there. Headed separations. I had to turn around and go back out there to find out what outfit I was hooked up with. I couldn't tell them where I'd been. I didn't know the number of the division. And you know, they ask you all this stuff, you know, where you at, what your last job was, who sent you here, what's your boss's name. Well, I know the man's name was Brett. But I didn't know, that's all I knew. I didn't know his initials. I just know he's Captain Britt.
What time do you have to be at work, Willie? 5 o'clock?
Right now. In about an hour and a half. Right now in about an hour and a half. But actually, that is a great feeling in a lot of people.
Yes. That's where I learned to watch one boy.
I think everybody did.
And every day, I can't hardly go by a day without, twice a day, really, checking my mailbox. Mm-hmm. That's the bulletin board up there.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just full.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something in there. And what you do is sort of look out of the corner and see if it's from some, if it's not sealed, it's fine.
Yeah. That's the kind I don't want. All that old junk mail.
Oh, I love that junk mail.
Oh, you do?
Not bills.
Just so it's not important. I don't want to get anything important.
Boy, I'm telling you, I had quite a... I got... he ought to be a maternity doctor. Johnny come quick.
He's a nice fellow.
Dr. Donald T. Quick. But here back, you know, I told you about my cemetery deal, didn't I? How many acres of hay are we going to cut this fall?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. And which pastures you want to cut it in? What do you want him to do? I got it.
How many bales you got in this thing?
Well, I don't know. It's just phenomenal how much bales that thing makes over there.
What, you got peanuts?
No, just beans.
Well, I don't want them. It's peanuts I'd have a few. What you need to do first, though, is to trim them pastures off.
Yeah.
Get them winter weeds out.
Yeah.
Winter weeds are still growing.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of deal would you make? Would you like to make in this thing?
Well, I didn't have a particular deal in mind.
You see, there's a lot of cash involved. It'd be hard for me right now.
Yeah.
Because I just ain't made that.
Well, there ain't any cash involved in it. It's labor, as I understand it.
See, I didn't do anything. I went on a fairly expensive vacation last October.
Oh, did you?
And then come back and didn't work no more. And then I got to go into the doctor. See, I spent, I don't know how much money, before I ever got in the VA hospital. And I ain't hit a lick until I went to work up that, at this cheap job I'm working now. And it's called, it's absorbed most of my little savings.
Yeah.
Well, I had, I didn't make the amount of feed I needed. I had to buy hay, and I had to buy other grain feed, which cost money.
Oh, that would get you.
And I think though if I can get some fairly good hay.
Let me tell you, I can't set too long one time. I told you that 6 times.
Yeah, I know it, but you walk around all you want to. Excuse me. I didn't have no good hay last year either. I bought it and paid for it, cash when I got it.
Yeah.
But it had a lot of junk in it.
You,
I got solid bales of broom sage, and my cows won't eat broom sage.
Well, they won't eat that when it's green.
Well, they didn't eat it cured. It looked pretty. I tell you, you ever seen cured broom sage? Man, it fertilized it. You know, and it was about that tall when he cut it. And, of course, when he baled it, he baled through the... He should have went around these patches of broom sage or had done something about it. And he just raked it all up then. I'd get solid bales of broom sage, and them cows wouldn't eat it. And now, I've got a problem. Now I'm going to have broom sage because it's seeded out, you know, and that seed's blowed all over my little old pasture out there in the field. Broom sage will be coming.
Oh, once you talk about something that'll take it now, that'll take it.
Yeah, but I put it out there in pure bales. And I didn't know what nothing else to do with it but just take it and throw it out. I just take it and throw it out there and get it out of the barn so I can get me another bale and just hunting good bales of hay.
Put it somewhere where it'll rot.
Well, that's what I should have done. I should have thrown it in a washout. And I should have thrown it out there on the county ditch road, you know, where them washouts are, where it's so bad, you know, they just pave it. But nevertheless, with a sorry bunch of hay and with a short grain crop to boot and no pasture, I had a hard winter. And then all the sickness I had, it just broke me down. And I just ain't got no finances for nothing.
I wish I'd known it. I had hay to spare over here.
Well, I even...
He didn't even give me some.
Oh, boy. Well, Joe Lee told me, he said, well, he says, if you get in buying, he said, I'll give you some hay. Well, I don't want people to be giving me hay. I didn't. I told him, I said, now I'll buy some, but I can't pay you for it right now. He said, no, I'll give you some hay. I said, no. And he, I just forgot it. But I made out. I did get a little hay, but I think I got 10 or 15 bales left that I didn't feed.
Well, what is this about your hay partners?
Well, me and Frank usually has it. I usually help him. I don't know why, but I've always had to help that boy. And see, I gave him half of that corn crop. I gave him half the corn crop last year. I grew it. Of course, I growed it down on the home place, which is much mine as is his. But I grew it down there. He didn't put out anything. He just was around.
Yeah.
He helped me pick it and helped me grind it. I gave him half of it.
How you get it ground?
Have a man come out there with a portable grinder.
Yeah.
I bought the hammer mill, but I ain't got nothing to pull it with. I thought I could pull it with that little old Ford tractor, but it ain't big enough.
Oh.
Don't turn up enough revs.
Yeah.
Got to turn up to, I don't forgot. Now, that don't turn up but 5,000. And is that TV on in yonder?
Yeah, I put it on so to get to keep the damp out of it.
Oh. I've been seeing something flash through that fan, and I thought that fan blade was turning a while ago, and then this picture, you know, comes on and goes off and changes, and I said, well, gosh, there's something wrong in there.
I let it get go for a week or two, and it got damp, and it would sputter back then.
Oh, yeah. But if what I had in mind, and if it'd be agreeable to you, you see, if we could get this hay up on Saturday,
yeah,
I could muster up a little help. But if I can afford to take off, you know what I mean? I can afford to put on a little more work that day because I won't have to work at night that night up
at
university. And I don't have to go back to work until Monday, but you have a long day Monday.
Yeah.
So, but that's something you can't depend on. You got to get hay when it's ready.
That's right.
It don't make no difference if it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
That's
you
right.
Got to get it. So yeah. This is what I had in mind. And as I say, Frankie, he's I've got to kind of help him get some. He said I worked kind of a bad deal on him last year, but the man wanted, he had two Black Angus heifers there, and the man told him that he'd for either one of the two, he'd give him, I don't forgot now how many bales of hay. And I told him, I said, well, you can't beat that. I said, you just can't beat that now, because I said, that's a good buy. Well, he got more than enough of hay, and it didn't cost him a nickel. See, oh, it cost him his cow, his heifer. But he had that. He couldn't carry that heifer over the winter. I told him, I said, that heifer will get out and pull in the winter, and she won't look half as pretty, and you can't get that much far. And, which was 100, and, well, it wound up by paying for the hay. It was 140 some odd dollars, I believe. And the heifer, I don't believe, would have weighed over 350. If that much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good buy. The man come got the cow. He didn't have to haul the cow off. He didn't have to do nothing with it. The man come got it right there. Load him himself. Frankie just didn't have to even touch, didn't move a finger.
Mm-hmm.
He did open the gate.
That's it.
He opened the gate. Well, I call that good business.
Yeah.
I really do. When I got something that I can swap, that I don't have to go in my pocket and dig out the cash money, I think I'm doing good. I'm making one thing pay, I'm keeping my expenses right within the problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, this is food for the other cow, so let a cow pay for the food for the other cow, so I figure I'm doing business. But Frankie says, you caused me to lose one of my best heifers. I says, I ain't caused you to do nothing but get you a good winter supply of hay. Because the man,
he didn't even have to work in the hay, did he?
No, he wouldn't ever, Frankie couldn't have traded with him. Because he wouldn't have given Frankie. Frankie'd have got the flubbling around then. Frankie wouldn't have got the hay. He wouldn't have got. He'd have lost a ton, half of hay on the deal.
Is he not a trader?
Well, yes, he can trade. But the thing about it was, he'd let this man, you know, say, "Well, that's all I'm gonna give you." I said, "Well, the cow's worth more than that." I said, "You got to have more hay in that, or you don't want the cow." You just think you want it. And he said, no, I know I want it. I said, well, you just have to give more hay then. And so he finally decided to get that much hay. But anyway, he don't work but 2 days a week, 3 days a week, sometimes 4 days a week, but average 3 days a week. And if I get him come over here and start cutting off this growth and let that hay start coming back on an even keel where you can get a good cutting, that's what you want now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it, you got to do it pretty quick.
Yeah, and then we'll rake it up and take it off there.
Do you necessarily have to? Or you think it's better?
I
thought it'd fertilize it. Or does it grow up and then it makes it bad for the next cutting?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I know hay, man. You could rake it up and sell it to the road for a stabilizer, I guess.
Yeah. Just get it off is all that, yeah. I think I could just pull it off over there. Wouldn't have to bale it, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's not... If you could get the price of baling it, get the price of labor out of it, or... I couldn't say baling, because that's losing money, just the price of baling. I mean, you know, get the price of labor out of it.
You know what they charge for baling?
25
cents up.
Yeah, I just fixing to say... 35, 40 cent most of the time, but the first and only I ever got bailed, no, I take it back. I started to say 25 cents. I got some bailed for 20 cents for Frankie and give it to him.
Yeah.
Back about 15 years ago, I had a crop over there and I had crap grass that high, just pretty. And I had old GP Lightner going down and he cut it for 20 cents and bailed it for 20 cents.
Better than bail it.
But he didn't pick it up and just left it bailed laying on the ground.
Yeah.
I told Frankie, I said, there it is, now you go get it. And he hauled 540 some odd bales out of that little patch. Mm-hmm. Pretty haze you want to lay your eyes on. I mean plumb clean. But then the last I had baled over, that cost me a quarter.
Yeah.
And
all he did was bale it.
He just baled it. He cut it, raked it, and baled it.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. But it didn't.
Well, that's been some time.
Yeah, it's been 1963, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It's
1963. I hate to think what it is now.
I believe it's 35, 40 cents. That's for the whole works. But the hay ain't worth much to you when you have to pay that much for it. If you grow it and have to pay that much for it, you ain't made a whole lot.
I think one of the best things about having your own hay is, you know, with the season now, you got to have a fast season. It don't hurt to let it grow a couple of weeks, maybe. But if you can cut it when it's green,
ready.
Ready. And so it smells good.
Mm.
And don't smell like straw. And
well, that's my problem. Year before last, I got, excuse me for cutting you off, but I think I told you about it.
No.
You could take this hay and shake it like that, and it's dirty. You know,
yeah.
It's been there so long, and it mildewed.
Yeah.
See, you know, it'd get a blue mold in it. The hay was deep like that.
Yeah.
The top of it, I went and looked at the top.
Yeah.
But it didn't go out in, it rode by, and it had that much green on top, and it had that much dead stuff underneath. They cut and bale that dead stuff along with that little bit of green, and you could take and shake it, and all the dirt and dust, the old mold stuff, you know, grew up in that from it being so rank. You see, I found out later, well, Robert Williams told me, he said, I cut my hay and put it up when it should have been put up, and he said, I went back and I cut it again, and said, GP ain't cut his yet. And so that's the reason your hay wasn't no good. Says you got some of that old rotten pangolia that he had. Said he should have cut it twice when he only cut it once. And it turned out a lot of hay, but it was no good. My cows got to where they'd turn up the nose at it and they'd blow. You know, they'd get them, that dust would get in the nose and they'd blow. You know what I'm talking about, blow the nose. All the time you hear them doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's getting that dust, that old mildew, you know, old mold from that hay. Was getting up the nose from eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd snort and blow.
One of the nice things that I think God does is he's got, so if you had a little help, he's got these small pastures over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you just cut a little at a time. For instance, and you can just work on it a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to have where you could take up, say take it half a day to take it up. You know what I mean. Then you can say, well, I got, if now, this is if it's a good day to cut it.
Yeah.
Because you can't depend on that, like you said a while ago. This is a big gamble. If you do cut it in a small amount and it goes running on you, you haven't lost much. That's a good idea.
This is the thing that
But if you do get a good day, And you get a good amount.
You can tell when the weather's going to be good.
Well, sometimes.
You know when you're playing. You know when you're.
If you know too much about that in advance, you better go down yonder and help them people on that channel too. That weather forecasters, they do foul up. I know what you're talking about. A farm man knows his weather.
You know when you got a hayseed, when you have.
Yeah.
My Lord help us, all these people around here, they mow the hay down with a big cloud coming up.
Well, not only that, they'll do it and it mowing it and it raining, and the man done said it gonna be raining tomorrow, and you can almost sense a feeling, I do, whether tomorrow's gonna be a mild fair or a average day, you know what I mean? I can tell by most of the time. Usually, as a rule, the making up of your weather condition, if you watch it, can tell you a little bit about what's going to happen tomorrow. If it starts to thundering and carrying on like this early in the afternoon, possibly it'll rain about dark. It may not rain a whole lot, all depending on how long it takes for it to work up. But if it goes to working up, you know, and it don't rain and it continues to work and boil and thunder and lightning, and it don't rain tonight and it continues and gets cloudy, and continues to do that, you can expect it to rain tomorrow and the next day, almost, if it keeps working, you know, on the end of the night, and don't rain, chances are it'll rain the next day and the next day. You'll get rains both 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. But if it just makes up a little bit now and rains this afternoon, that's about it.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Then you've got to wait for it to go through this process again. Get hot and stuffy and...
That's right.
Thunder and
lightning and such.
Yeah.
But if getting back to the hay, if you have a deal in mind where we can you can figure that much hay in it, and
how much do you need? How much hay do you need?
Well, I can use 150 bales.
How much does Frank need?
Well, he usually has to have about 500 bales.
Well, let me tell you, Willie, I need about that. We can get that easy on one cutting out here.